Hi, I'm Amanda Pacheco.
This is Sheila.
Hello, it's Davida.
I'm Gina Lovato.
Hey, it's Alana Dunn.
I'm Caitlin Bailey.
This is Melissa Novak.
It's Sean Jacobson.
Hey, it's Bethany Nicole, and welcome to Sex Party.
And welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Sex Party with your host, Dustin Rybka.
Welcome to Sex Party. I'm your host, Dustin Rybka. My guest this week is adult star Alicia Vera. Alicia just did two gangbangs within a week's time. One was a 15-man gangbang. One was a 12-man gangbang. She used to be very conservative and very prude. So how did she find herself here in porn? She is also married. She also has a very unique origin story about how she got into this work. It will all make sense, I promise. Alicia talks about some past trauma and some terrible things that happened with an ex, but how it all sort of led her here to this place. She also is a sex toy addict. We talk about her favorite sex toys, what she recommends. Her marriage is thriving and it has a lot to do with the work she is doing. So, without further ado, I know you're intrigued. Please enjoy my conversation with Alicia Vera.
This week's conversation.
Alicia Vera, welcome to Sex Party. The viewers will not, or listeners or audience members, I never know what to call them. We'll just call them the party goers, right? They're probably not aware that you and I had an interview about a month ago. Sometimes, once in a while, because I don't do enough on this podcast, which is not true. But I guest host another podcast. You were a guest. I felt like the Sex Party audience really deserved Alicia Vera because I think your story's awesome. I think you're awesome.
Thank you.
You're here on Sex Party. But for the people who didn't catch that interview, they don't know what I'm talking about. They don't know who you are. They live under a rock. They're in rehab. Whatever, right? Could you take a moment? Yeah, it does, you know? It's normal. Rehab is not bad. Come on, y'all.
No, it helps.
Totally. So yeah. For the people who don't know you, they've never seen your face, they never heard your voice, they've never experienced your work. Could you take a minute, talk about who you are and what it is that you do?
Yeah. So I'm an adult actress. I didn't start out that way. I was a very prude, nice, sweet girl. Very sweet. It was basically good girl gone bad, and that's pretty much the truth. Like, that's just how it works.
Yeah,
it was after I got married, so I am happily married. We've been together since 2021, and I love what I do. I love my career. I love everything evolving around my life. Everything, nothing but good things have happened to me, and I'm very grateful for that. I love to sing. I love to dance. I haven't done any of the stripping stuff yet. It'd be kind of fun to do some of that just to try it out. But I don't know if I'd be good at it. But
well, I mean, I think you have put your mind to a lot of things, and you seem to be incredibly successful. So why not? Why not stripping and singing and dancing? And I mean, go for it. You know?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking like a whole burlesque show, actually.
Mm. So. Yeah. And I feel like I live here in Chicago and my girlfriend and I go, we just went to a burlesque show, in a speakeasy behind some secret door. And it's so much fun. You still get like the horniness and like the titties and like shit being thrown around and money and whatever. But there's like a level of like mystery intrigue to it. So I feel like you could probably have a rockin' burlesque show for sure.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'd kill it if I just got to put it together and practice because I don't know what the hell I'm doing on stage. So,
well, yeah, but I think, you know, one go around, you'd be like, I got this. This is fucking, you know, And you know, trial by fire, right? I mean, this podcast is still after 2 years, it's a trial by fire. So you just kind of do the damn thing. Yeah. So you're right at home.
Yeah.
Okay, so adult actress, and we'll totally get to your origins because I think that's fascinating. I know the story. They don't, but they will. What kind of adult actress are you? Like, what kind of scenes? How hardcore is it? currently, what kind of things are you doing? How long you been in the industry? Are we doing DPs and gangbangs and all these things yet? Or is it more like you're kind of like building as you go along?
Yeah. So, my first scene started as an anal one, and, which was more along the lines of hardcore, but it was role play, and role play is my specialty. I love everything about it. I can't necessarily say I love like taboo, but I love being the stepmom. Mm. So that's kind of my jam.
Okay.
But I love gangbangs. And in fact, just like in the last week, I flew to Arizona and I did one. And then I flew to Austin like 4 days later and I did another one there too. So
wow. Okay. Yeah. So two gangbangs within a week, right?
Yes.
How many guys in each gangbang?
So the one in Arizona was, oh gosh, approximately 15, probably maybe more, maybe a couple more. Yeah.
Okay. And then the one in Austin?
The one in Austin was about 12.
Okay. So this is like not five, because people are like, anything below five is not considered a gangbang. Anything five and up is a gangbang. That's like the unofficial rules that I've been told, right? But you're like, I mean, 15 plus, 12 plus. I mean, those are a real deal. So, okay, to have sex with 30 people in a week, I mean, are you sore? Are you icing? Is there a secret?
Let me just tell you this. So in Arizona, one guy was so big. I mean, we're talking, I thought he could pass for near, like, I don't know if you know Dredd, but he was so big. He started he started slow, but then he progressed and got, you know, stronger and stronger. And it got to the point that the whole table like started moving, and it was moving into the actual glory hole because it was all connected. I'm like, oh my God. I literally thought my vagina was coming out of my mouth.
Oh, wow.
It was so crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's okay. So, okay. And then you mentioned glory hole. So this is like do you start in the glory hole and they take you like, oh, or is it like they're behind it's like a glory hole gangbang, right? Which we should explain like what that, I mean, if you don't know what a glory hole is, guys, Google it. But the quick definition is like you go to a room, there's holes in the wall and cocks come out and then you do stuff with them, right? I would hope anybody, I mean, you know, I'm not shaming anybody if they don't know what it is. So the Arizona one, this was a glory hole gangbang.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. It was both combo. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. That's awesome. And so, okay. He was banging you so hard that you thought your vagina was coming out of your mouth.
Yes, literally. He's like, do you want more? And I'm like, no, get the fuck off of me.
Next.
He was last, actually, so it just saved my life because my vagina was so painful. I got into the shower. So my therapy is basically you take a boric acid, you pop it up your vagina, you go hop in the shower, and you sit down and you scrouch down, like literally like laying back. And you let the water pressure come down and just like, whew, just inhale your vagina. And it just,
Okay. So what are you putting in your vagina? Cause this is something I have not heard of yet on the show.
Really? It's boric acid. So boric acid, basically, I mean, it's so toxic. It could obviously kill a cockroach. So, you know, you can't obviously eat it, but you can. They're little tablets, just like regular supplement pill. And you take it and you shove it up your vagina, like as far as it can go. And there's some discharge from it, but it prevents like bacterial vaginosis. It can help with yeast infections and all that. So it keeps everything at bay. It's your flora. It just helps keep the pH balanced. So.
Oh, nice. See, insider tip. We're getting the real deal. That's like an extra step that you do to abate any STIs or like I would imagine if they're coming inside you, which I don't know they are yet because I haven't asked that question, that it would that it would take care of that issue as well. I mean, boric acid,
it helps a lot, and you douche too. So I'll do a water douche and I'll just cleanse my whole vagina out, especially if, you know, I've had like what, I mean, this sounds crazy, but like, you know, 10 guys like coming in my vagina, you know, you got to clean that out. So that's what I do. And it's really good. And I also take doxycycline. So it's a prescription, and I'm sure you know what that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people use it for their acne, but if you take 500 milligrams before a shoot and 500 milligrams, like 12 hours later after the shoot, it can prevent up to like 90 to 99% rate of like chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, the generic ones. So,
yeah, no, it's powerful stuff. And I have heard that one. I've heard that, it's funny. I had like a fucking cut or something that somehow I like showed my doctor and he's like, that doesn't, what did you do? And I'm like, I don't know. I was drinking. And he's like, okay, we're going to put you on doxycycline. And I'm like, wait, that's like the porn star thing. And he just like looked at me.
That's so hilarious.
Yeah. I'm like, sorry, I'm a sex podcaster. I know these terms or whatever. And he's like, whatever, here's your prescription. Try not to drink so much.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm surprised he didn't ask you about that.
Yeah. You would think they normally do. It's usually like a lot of like when the internet guy comes over, you know, like, well, what are you using it for? I'm like, well, there's this sign in the other room that says sex party and on the wall. Or like if someone is coming to do like maintenance or something, they're like, I'm like, it's a podcast. Just, it's okay. You know? And they're like, oh, can I take a picture in front of it? I'm like, sure. But yeah, no. So at these gangbangs, it's the world of like, it's so weird to me that like, and I'm sure you have tons to say just how lovely on one end people are with sex and horniness and whatever, and then on the other end they're like crazy. Like they're so negative, right? And it's there's no balance ever. I feel like
there's not ever any balance, especially with those kinds of shoots, because they're like, oh, that's so nasty, like, are you sure they're tested? And you know, a lot of it, it's with the glory hole, it's supposed to be the random man that shows up and he's just thrown his dick through the wall. That's not really, I mean, yes, it is, but they're obviously tested. So they're clean. They, you know, I won't work with them if they haven't been tested. And they do strict protocol. So they'll do blood, and they also have one the day of as well. And they it's like drops from the urine or whatever. So yeah, they're screened really well.
And we always come up against this, and you know, people refuse to sort of like accept this as fact. But if you're going to date or have sex with a sex worker, a porn star, adult, film actress, actor, one, the sex is probably going to be a lot better than someone you just would pick up at the fucking pub, right? Number one.
Correct.
Yeah. Number two, they're some of the safest people in the world because you guys are constantly getting tested. And I think people just don't want to accept that. I don't understand. Yeah. If I was, you know, going to get my car fixed, I wouldn't go to somebody who hasn't been certified in six years and doesn't know what they're doing, right?
That's a good, that is a good analogy, because you see all of these men and women going to the bars, and how do you know where that man, if he wasn't just in an orgy, and then he goes to the bar and he gets horny again and he wants to fuck you, and you're like, oh my God, he's so hot. You get drunk. You don't remember. I mean, it's a vicious cycle, but it happens. But wouldn't you want to be with someone who you knew was actually tested properly? So.
Yeah, and like who knew how to fucking give a blowjob or go down on, on someone's pussy or something? Like, what the fuck?
Oh, hell yeah. Yes.
Okay, so the gangbangs, right? Because I feel like there's a lot of unanswered questions here that I need to get on the table. One, they're at the end, is it a mixture of them like coming inside you, coming on your face? Is that...
Yeah. So basically how it starts. So when I get there, I end up doing this, massage thing. So I'll put gloves on, and it's kind of like a dominant per se. And the guy gets like hooked up into the chair. So he's restrained by his hands. He can't move. And I'll like kind of taunt him and tease him. And then I'll get on top of him. And then he ends up cream pieing me. And I'll do maybe two or three of those when I first get there. And then there's a break. Then you go to the glory hole. The glory hole is set up in two parts typically, because most people can't handle that many dicks at one time. So, and the influx of, you know, when men can show up and have their lunch breaks and whatnot. So I'll go through like six in one session. And that is a mixture of coming in my mouth, on my face, on my tits, in my pussy, I don't typically do much anal because it can get kind of like messy, but I don't really mess with that too much. But and then it's the gangbang. So after that.
Okay. So that's awesome. First of all, I mean, sounds like a gauntlet. So fucking round of applause there. You're knocking that. Fucking two in a week. That's, I have not heard two gangbangs within a 7 to 10 day period yet on the show. So if we give Sex Party awards, that one's yours. I'll figure it out. but I mean, that's like rock star shit. So that's amazing. What besides the, you know, to relax, right? I mean, are you icing your pussy? Are you like getting massages? Like how do you relax from that? Right.
Honestly, I need to cum. Like, I get so horny from lots of cum inside of me. So for me, therapeutically, I just need to be calm. I need to get the water from the shower and I just like drench my vagina and I'll sit there for like 5 or 10 minutes, just letting the water hit my vagina and clean it out. And it's like lukewarm. So I don't use burning hot, obviously, but then I'll lay down and I just masturbate. And I'm just like, or, you know, I have my husband and I'm like, we gotta release this shit out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing too, is like, you may come, and correct me wherever I'm wrong, you may come during a gangbang or a porn scene, but it's probably not as enjoyable because you still have to maintain this sort of, you're working, need to like make sure the scene proceeds or whatever. And I've had a couple other adult, you know, stars on the show and they're like, yeah, I have come during, but more than likely it's after. So is that what happens with you? Do you come during the scenes or is it more after every time?
Yeah, I'll usually, so like the glory hole is kind of hard to do that because you're going back and forth for, you know, you got a cock here, got a cock there, you know, I mean, it's hard to kind of maintain that, but like in the gangbang, that is when there's kind of an opportunity for me to do something like that. And I have before, so it's just, yeah, it gets tiring after a while and you're like, oh my God, I don't know if I can come. But for women, there is a scientific study. The more tired a woman is, the hornier she gets. And that is a fact.
Wow. See, no wonder my girlfriend keeps asking me to have sex with her while she's sleeping. This is, nah! I mean.
Yes. See, it works.
Yeah. And I've talked about this on the show before too, but like, is that something that you are into too with your husband? Like, hey, just have at it while I'm asleep.
Yes, I fucking love that shit. It's like, and I don't know what it is. It's a stigma with women and the dominance of a man doing it. It's honestly, it's kind of like a fantasy of, you know, like taking advantage. I don't know if I can say that word, but
yeah, no, you can. Consent, yeah, non-consent. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Rape fantasy. Yeah. And we all crave that. Every woman craves that fantasy. I don't know why.
Yeah. And that's, and we talk about that all the time. I actually had a sex therapist on, Dr. Batsheva Marcus. She had this incredible theory where she was like, the reason is because you women want to be desired. Right. And what's like, what's more desirable in its darkest way than someone who cannot control themselves if you're just lying there, right? And like,
oh my they're God. Break,
yeah. And so I definitely think that plays into it. And, you know, my girlfriend and I have role played shit like that too. And that's fun, but we haven't got to the sleeping thing yet. Because I want to, but usually, even if I'm like, you know, brush your back when I come into bed, you're kind of like, you know, so I.
Oh, just do it. She wants that. She wants to complain and whine and moan. Mm. Don't give her a choice and just do it. And she's technically, you know, submitting to that. There is nothing sexier than that. A woman wants you to, and she's already consented to it. She wants you to. So just do the damn thing. Even if she complains, just do it. Just tonight when you go home, your ass better be waylaying her while she's sleeping.
Well, I will, you know, I'll take it from a pro and we'll just knock that one out and we'll just proceed. we'll proceed from there and see where it goes. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, proceed with caution.
I don't know. I'm pretty dominant and that's like my thing and she's pretty submissive. So that's her thing. So it's like, it's a very good match in that way. Okay. Yeah, we'll figure it out and report back for sure. Yeah. I want to ask you now, like going backwards, right? More about your origin story, because this is fascinating. Now that we sort of have these double gangbangs on the table and some amazing details and tons of cum everywhere and whatever. Now we're going to go back to like what you said in the beginning. And again, like I have the advantage of knowing a bit of your origin story. We can talk about it more in depth.
Cool.
So you said on this podcast already that you were sort of prude, sort of stuck up around sex. That's the part I want to tackle first, and then I'm going to go into how you became who you are today.
Okay, cool. So yeah, I grew up very conservative. And you know what's so funny is that I don't think, like, as far as my mom, God, I love her so much, but I think she was always the partying type. So I think that it was always something instilled with her to, you know, go out and have fun and whatnot. But I wasn't brought up that way. I was brought up kind of like on my dad's side, where he believes in a true monogamous relationship. You don't have sex till you're married. You don't, I mean, obviously it didn't happen that way, but I waited to have sex until I was 18 to the guy that I thought I was going to be with forever. And it didn't turn out that way, although I thought it was going to, but it didn't. Super, super Catholic girl. I never did anything wrong. I did everything by the Bible. And, you know, going through all that, I'm like, man, I'm doing everything right. But I always felt like everything was crumbling over me. I always felt like everything bad was happening around me while I was just striving to be the best person I could be in the world, right? Like, I'm just doing so good. I'm living by the Bible, right? And after my relationship, I was with him for about 6 years. And after that ended, I kind of went out and just started like lightly dating. But I was having a lot more fun. I was going to the bars and clubs and flirting and all that. But I was still pretty good, pretty prude, super, super stuck up. I mean, nobody could get to me. I was known as the prude girl growing up. Yeah, it was just really bad. But I ran into a guy that I started dating in Kansas City, and he was basically relocating to Texas for some unknown reason. He said it was for job, work, whatever. And I ended up moving for him on a whim. This was like so quick. Within like a month, he's like, you want to move with me? And I'm like, what? I'm like, we just started dating. And I listened to my mom. I mean, love her. I love you. Sorry if you see this, but it's true. She did pressure me to try it out. She's like, you should, you know, try it out and see what happens. I'm like, okay. So I gave up my whole life there. And the day after I moved in, I found out he was birthing a child in a hospital. So it was not good, but
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really bad. It's
really bad. Yeah. That sounds like some serious drama. So, okay. Two questions.
Sure.
One, when you were like prude and like prissy and like nobody can touch this, you're never gonna hit this, like whatever, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, were you and religious and all the things all those years, were you deep down just like insanely horny, like I wish I or whatever, or like, because I feel like, did you have that sex drive in you, or were you having like crazy fantasies about gangbangs or whatever it was like during that, but you just chose to sort of be prude and no?
So you see, I was always simple. Like I always had this basic mentality with sex. It was more erotic. I think it was more like I'm so submissive at that stage of my life where I just wanted the guy just to do whatever he wanted to me. Right. And that was the guy that I was with. And so I think that was the only thing that really turned me on, was that he just kind of did what he wanted when he wanted, right? Kind of thing. And I loved that. I loved that. But he wasn't like super, you know, like hardcore or anything. It was just soft. It was erotic and it was passionate. And that's stuff that really turns me on. I do love that. When he gets what he wants, but he's super passionate and sexy with it. And he can tease and all of that. Love that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then, and the second question is, if you were so picky, we'll call it, what was it about this guy that made you fucking, like, have you been able to identify what it was about him that made you move from Kansas City to Texas?
So that guy, was, I think it was just the charm. I think it was literally his charm that persuaded me. And I think it was this feeling of newness and change, which was exciting for me, and to take a risk. I love risk, and that's something that I should be careful with sometimes, but, but I loved the idea, and I'm glad I did, because now I'm married with the guy that I met from Texas. So, you know,
okay.
I don't know. I don't know what drew. I wasn't even attracted to that guy. That guy wasn't even anything to me. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, well, we all have those weird fucking things. I remember in college, I was like, I was dating someone like really, really good looking and whatever. And then I cheated on her and like broke up with the girlfriend. And it was like with this girl who like, I mean, she just wasn't as good looking. We'll say that. And people are like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I don't know. Whatever. I'm just doing what my penis and brain are planning for me to do. Just leave me alone. Right. Yeah. I mean, we all have that, I think. And maybe, I don't know. And you can answer this, but I can't obviously, but do you think like during that time where you were single after the 6-year relationship and before the Texas move, right? Mm-hmm. You think you were getting approached like in the bars and clubs, like by a bunch of like lame dudes who had no confidence. And so you just kind of needed like somebody who was interested, but not too much kind of to approach you, and nobody ever did.
You know, it's funny that you say that. I actually got approached by like well-known men. And the weirdest thing is I thought that they were, maybe it was their ego or something. I didn't like it. Maybe it was just too cocky. Like there was one guy that played baseball for the Chicago, White Sox, Lucas Harrell. Okay. He played for him at the time, and he was at the bar there at Power and Light District. He was in Kansas City at that time. But yeah, he played for them, and he like hit on me, and it didn't work out. But, there was just a couple other guys. I don't know why I didn't find interest in him. I have no idea.
No, that's interesting. Yeah. Because I think a lot of women are into that. Right. But I just think if you're famous or like a fucking athlete or whatever, but some women are like, no, you're not real. You're not really telling me anything I don't know already. And it's not true. Like what you're saying, you just want to do all these things and whatever, fuck you. So I feel like there's two camps with that, but I do feel like an approach where you're sort of like, there and you're like willing to have a conversation, but you're also willing to be like, hey, have a nice night. I feel like that's always attractive to women for some reason, where you sort of leave like you're having a thing, right? And the woman's like, oh fuck, he's gonna ask for my goddamn number. I'm like, and you just don't. And you're like, well, cheers, you know, have a good night. And then you go back to your friends. The woman's like, what the fuck, now I gotta go over there? Like it's like a fucking magnet thing. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, buy my drinks all you want. I don't give a shit. I'm not going back with you, buddy.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. okay, so then you're in Texas, and you know the dude that you're with is birthing a child, and he's a dud. And so we move on from him, and then you meet. I'm assuming you meet who you're married to now.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I went through a lot of trauma with that guy. It was near death. I don't want to really. Link sure. all that info, but I mean, if you want to hear about it, yeah, he pulled a gun to my head and basically asked why I should be living. And I used his son as fuel, and I don't know what kept him from pulling that trigger, but he didn't do it. And then he like fell to the ground and started foaming at the mouth. It was fucking weird. It was wild. Yeah.
Okay, bombshell. First of all, you can share whatever you like here.
Okay.
And whatever you're comfortable with. Okay. If there's something you're not comfortable with, just don't share it or say you're not comfortable, whatever. Cool. Okay, so he pulls a gun on you and and then falls to the ground foaming. First of all, sorry about a fucking horrible experience that you had. Obviously, he was on drugs and not mentally well, I'm assuming.
So I found out he was doing drugs. He was apparently bringing his dealer into the house, and I never knew that, but I suspected something was weird. I'm so oblivious. You know, I was never gathering any of that info. So like someone could actually do that to you, you know, but Yeah, he was bringing his dealer in. And then one day I found his cocaine stash in his son's cabinet when I was putting his bottles away. It was a paper plate at the top. And I'm like, oh, what's this? You know, I'm just being stupid. And I just grab it and all this white powder comes falling all over my head. And I'm like, oh, what the fuck is this? And I mean, it was literally everywhere. And I called him immediately. Stupid. I shouldn't have done that. And I did. And he like freaked out and he goes, oh, I'm on my way right now. And I'm like, okay, that's not good. And then he comes home and he goes, you know, that's over $1,000. I'm like, of what? What is this? And I'm naive to drugs. I don't know anything about drugs. Never smoked a cigarette. I've done one little edible. That's it. And he's like, you weren't supposed to know about that. And I'm like, well, why would you go hide it in your son's bottle cabinet? Like, I'm practically raising your kid. And then that's when it all kind of spiraled. He started choking me. He would hold me up to the wall, spit in my face. He threw me around like a basketball. I mean, it was just really, really, really nasty. Really nasty.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry to fucking hear that horrible shit. But I appreciate you sharing it because I think people, you know, have a similar situation or have a friend who has a similar situation. And then they hear you and you got out of it. How did you get out of it?
Well, fucking brass balls. One day he went to work because he was a project manager for a construction company. And I literally locked myself in the bathroom and sat on the ground and had a laptop out. And I was looking up jobs on fucking Craigslist. Like, I found this lady out of the blue and she was like, sure, you could come over and do an interview, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I am looking to see if you had, room and board where I could pay you for a room or whatever. Cause I didn't know how else to make it work. I'm just desperate at this point. Right. So I go to her house and she opens the door. She lives on the lake. I mean, the water was just like glistening and she was decked out in like white and gold clothes. And she's from, Pakistan. I mean, just beautiful. She looked like my mom even. I started crying and she goes, why are you crying? And I'm like, you're saving my life right now. And we sat down and she goes, she's like, it was the most awkward conversation. And she goes, you know what I am? And I said, no, what? And she goes, I'm a spiritual healer. And I was like, oh, I was like numb, like just tingles everywhere. And I'm like, you're saving my life right now. And that's when I got into spiritual healing. She took me on. I went back to the house. I packed my bags up. When he came home, he got really weird with me and somehow knew I was up to something. Cause he goes, where were you? And I said, what do you mean? And he goes, well, I know you were gone. And I think he had me like GPS tracked or something. Yeah, it was not good. And I just had told him that I went for a drive and went to go get groceries or something. And the next day I raced and packed up everything I could. I didn't care if I left stuff behind because the guy would probably kill me. Right. And he saw that I was leaving the house because 10 minutes later after I left, he sent me a text and he goes, where are you going? And I said, I'm leaving. And he goes, no, you fucking aren't. And he like raced home, I guess. I wasn't there, obviously. I left. He calls me yelling and screaming, saying he was going to call the police because I was stealing his pillows.
Okay. Yeah. That's,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That seems, not all there.
Nope. But I did file a restraining order on him and the cops were called and everything. So, I mean, he's not allowed to be near me. So it's all good.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fucking awesome. So, I mean, just a little button on that, piece of the story, right? Like what advice would you give for other women who are in similar situations right now?
If you think you're guilty of something when you're absolutely innocent and you think that you're going to be harmed and he tells you you're not allowed to leave, you're not allowed to call the cops, you're not allowed to do anything, do not ever listen to anything someone like that says. You do what your gut tells you to do. You get the hell out of there.
Yeah. You do it. Thank you for that.
Yeah. You leave.
Yeah.
Yep. And don't look back either. Do not let him get back into your life. Block his email, block his number, block every bit of access from him, because he will find a way to contact you if it's through, and especially like with social media now, technology is so advanced that you know you can make fake profiles, you can anything. File a restraining order, get rid of him. Don't ever look back, because someone like that is so narcissistic. Women crave those kinds of bad boys. They want someone to chase them. Do not let him chase you.
Yeah.
Walk away.
Especially with a fucking hatchet or a gun. You don't want to be chased that way. Unless it's like some consent role play you're doing and the gun's not loaded. But this is a little different. Like, you're so right. And I think a lot of women do end up in narcissistic patterns and with men, because it's that cycle that we always talk about, right? Like they need whatever, or they crave domination or to be demeaned in a certain way, but it's like, hey, I don't want to be harmed, and then you wind up in that thing. And I'm glad that you led the advice with don't believe you're guilty of something you haven't done, because that's like only someone who's been, you know, abused in the way you have in that way would fucking know to give that advice. So that's like brilliant, and I totally appreciate that.
Of course, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for going there. So how do you meet your husband? Because I think this is where the story takes a really fun turn. And it's very like different than how most people enter the adult industry. So how did you meet your husband?
Yeah. So I was kind of doing me. I was working for the spiritual healer and I was her executive assistant. I was with her for about 5 to 6 years. I started going to a gym and just doing me, you know, I never look up at people. I always had my hat on, you know, and I'd look down and just void everyone else out. And one day I was walking through the gym by where the weights were, and I look up and this beautiful, beautiful fucking Italian man's just staring at me in the face. And I'm like, holy shit. You know, like all I could do was like barely grin. I'm like, you know, like I didn't smile hardly, you know, I'm just like, oh my God, like, hi. and then he kind of like looked at me and smiled, and then I walked off. Right. Well, a little bit later I got on the, what's that machine where you take your legs out, the leg abductor machine. And I'm sitting there, you know, mind my own business, just jamming, chilling, you know, and all of a sudden I get this tap on my arm and my legs are like widespread, you know, like wide as an eagle. And I look up and he's like looking at me and I'm like, yeah, can I help you? And he's like, you know, the machine next to me, he's like, is that, are you using that? And I'm like, do I fucking look like I'm using that? So he sits down and we start talking just about, you know, like who you are, where are you from, blah, 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 this and that. Everything's good. He didn't give me his number. And I'm like, why did he not ask me for my number? You know? And I'm sitting here, I'm like, and I'm not one, I was never taught to give my phone number out. So God, I'll be damned if I'm giving my number to anybody. We go into the sauna later and he ends up going in there, and I didn't know he would be in there. We start, you know, we're just kind of looking at each other, and he's sitting away from me in the, you know, it's a big dry sauna, and I'm just looking at him smiling, and all of a sudden he walks out and he's walking the other way, and I'm, you know, just, I kind of followed him out, and I was like, are you going to ask me for my number? And he goes, well, I'm glad you asked. And I'm like, please give me your number. And so he gave me his number. And then the next day we talked on the phone for like 8 hours straight. We fell asleep talking to each other on the phone. I mean, crazy. And then a week later, we're jumping out of an airplane together, skydiving. So.
Wow. Well, so he broke the cardinal rule of like, don't hit on women at the gym. And it worked.
It worked. Yeah. So you know that rule. It's a guy's rule, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't even like look. Like I always wear a hat and shit. And like, you know, I used to sneak a peek, but like, you know, like fucking, I mean, you have to like be like classy about it. You can't like eyeball and whatever, but under no circumstances, even when women would like ask me, I'd be like, what do you, you know, like, yeah, I'm on, what, like you said, like, yeah, I'm on this machine. What the fuck? But yeah, that's like the cardinal rule. Like, don't look, don't fucking, you know, if you're going to look, be quick about it. Don't be an a-hole, but like under no circumstances do you fucking approach a woman who's working out, especially with her fucking legs open on a machine in front of a mirror. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are so many contradictions in this episode that I love that. I love that, like, you're the prude. And now you're like this rockin' gangbang porn star. Yes. You never give your number out and then you're fucking whatever. Okay, so how long was it until until you guys were like together, married, serious? Like how long?
So we started dating basically right after that first date. We obviously fucked that night. I mean, you know, you're like flying in the air. You gotta get all that oxygen out, you know. So we dated for the first was like a year and a half, and then we moved in together and wanted to see, you know, is this going to work? And so we lived together for 2 years and he ended up proposing during those 2 years. And we got married in 2021. So we were together, we started dating in 2018 and he proposed a year before we got married. So.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So that seems normal. I mean, that seems like, you know, it's not impulsive or whatever. Going back to the first date, you jumped out of a plane for the first date.
Uh-huh.
What a power move. This guy is a fucking G. This is awesome.
I mean, you know what's funny? I invited him to go with me.
Okay, so you're the G in this situation. Okay.
I'm the fucking G, bitch.
Yeah, there you go. Round of applause there. Was he like, maybe, I don't know. Or was he like, oh, no, I'll do it.
He didn't even hesitate. He goes, yeah, I'll go. And I don't know if he ever thought about doing that. You know, he weighed like 230 pounds. So he was like almost at the max weight limit. So they had to like tack on another $100 because he weighed so much.
That's amazing. Okay. So you guys skydive, you bang. How was the sex the first time?
Oh, fucking awesome. Like,
yeah.
Probably literally one of the best orgasms I've ever had. The best orgasm I've ever had. I'll never forget that day. It was amazing.
So do you think it was because there was this buildup, or was it because that like there was a buildup from the, and then the jumping out of a fucking airplane or a combination that made the sex so good?
I think it was a combo. And not only, I didn't mention that when I was with the spiritual healer, I was jotting down a list of things that I wanted in a man. And it is so crazy how spirituality works. It is insane. I wrote down everything: Italian, Catholic, dark hair, you know, he's muscular, tan, I mean, everything under the sun. That's what I wanted. And he just shows up. And it was like, what the fuck? Like, you didn't know that could exist, but he had every line item. I had like over 100 things on my law of attraction list that I wanted in a man. And he just comes out of the blue. So yeah, it worked.
Yeah, of course you had 100 items on your must list. That's awesome. Yeah, more power to you. Okay, so then you guys are married. This is the part, this is where we take a left turn a bit, which is it's a great left turn. So why don't you tell, like, how long were you married before this moment happened where he, you know, suggested something or whatever?
Honestly, probably a couple weeks. I mean, it wasn't long after we were just playing. We were in the guest bedroom on the floor playing with each other and just having fun. And I don't even know. I think we were looking at porn or something on the phone. And all of a sudden he goes, you know, it would be so hot to see you suck another guy's cock. I'm like, are you on fucking drugs? I'm like, who are you? Like, who does that? Who says that? And, you know, I'm not used to that because I'm so prude. Like, I never had a guy that would ever say anything like that, ever. You know, that was the worst thing you could say, honestly. And he's like, no, really, I think it would be so sexy to see you do that. And I'm like, really? I'm like, well, I mean, I guess we can try it. I'm like, I've never thought about doing that, but I mean, maybe, you know, I don't know if I would be good at it, but I'll give it a shot. So we got on like Tinder and all kinds of weird different apps, and we started engaging with people, but we never met them because we both got a little weird and scared. And then one day I was looking through an article because I'm like, where can we find the best fuck, you know, like where you get just someone who just wants to fucking play, you know, like I don't even know where to find that at. And you, there's all these people everywhere, right? And I saw something about like a sexy jobs forum. I'm like, what's that? So I started searching, and I mean, it's like one of the biggest porn outlets for finding work. Okay. And so I'm seeing dollar signs, sex, dollar signs. I'm like, oh my God, I think we got a business here. You know, like, I mean, you know, you're like money and sex, like what fucking is better than that? So I'm like, I think I'm going to do this shoot. And he goes, what a shoot. What do you mean? And so I'm like, you know, describing what that was in the article. And I'm like, well, this guy says he could hook me up with, you know, like a $2,000 gig and it would only take this amount of time. And he goes, wow. He's like, you should go do that. I'm like, okay. So I got signed up and I literally went and got tested, and I'm like, I didn't even know what to do with testing. It was so foreign to me, but I went out and I rocked that scene. Like I was a pro my very first time. That's crazy.
No. Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, so it went from like, what? No, like kind of like, this, so you're like, your prude walls just crumbled that quickly because you were turned on or you're interested, or just someone had never done that? Or what do you think made you sort of go from no way, you psycho, to like, oh fuck yeah, let's look around on Tinder? Like, where did that had that always been inside you, do you think? You just, no one knew how to type in, like, get in there, or what?
Well, you know, and that's where I go back to that conversation piece about my mom. I think there's something instilled within me, this inner, like, let's have fun. You know, I want to explore, have fun with people, but I wanted to be able to do it consensually. I mean, I never thought about doing it, but I mean, hell, you know, and it makes him happy too. Like, he enjoys that and he gets turned on by it. And if I can make my man turned on and I still get to go, you know, fuck other cocks, I mean, why wouldn't you do it? You know?
So, yeah, and get fucking paid for it too. Yeah,
and get paid for it on top of it. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's what's so cool is, like, the more that this podcast progresses, we do find out, like, that some of the biggest, most incredible, like, hacks with polyamory or non-monogamy is that you bring in professionals, whether that's porn stars or sex workers, because that way the emotional weirdness piece, like that you would get from Tinder, or the risk of that, right? Mm-hmm. There's that word again, risk, right? Yeah, that's not there when you're working with pros. You can kind of feel a little more comfortable that, yeah, this person's a porn star. This person is a sex worker. So what did you do in that first scene? What was that like?
It was so natural. I mean, when I walked in, I met the producer, I met the talent, and both of them were so cordial, so nice and respectful. They told me exactly what I was going to be doing. And it was exactly as they said. I, you know, came in, it was like an interview style. They asked me some questions, asked me about my marriage. And they're like, oh, you know, this is your very first scene. And it was my very first scene. It wasn't made up. And I ended up, you know, it was pretty much full on anal, and it was awesome. I mean, I was like, wow, like, I didn't know I was capable to be that flexible and that, you know, just able to move that much, but I did. So,
wow. Okay. So was it with one guy, two guys?
It was with one guy, and, he wasn't like super, super big or anything. So it made it very smooth and kosher for me. Yeah.
So, key question here. Did you keep the wedding ring on or take it off for the scene?
I kept it on.
Okay. Yeah. See, this is a whole other level, because there is porn out there where, like, the woman will put the ring, like, up to her face and take the cum shot and all of that. And that's like sort of a kink or whatever. Were you doing some of that stuff? Was it, they kind of keyed in on that?
Yeah. I think they came on the ring.
See, yeah, what did that feel like? Was it like a huge turn on?
It was a rush of excitement. And I think that it was so, I think I was just ready in anticipation to go tell my husband, like, oh my God, I can't wait to go tell him and show off, you know, what just happened, because I knew he enjoyed that too. So for me, it was a big rush. Yeah. I think it got me turned on. for sure.
Yeah. Because it's like such this forbidden kind of like way over the top, like horny thing. And no, I think that's awesome. And you're starting to see it pop up a lot more now in mainstream porn.
Yeah.
And it's like a fantasy and the whole thing. So then when the scene comes out, do you guys watch it together? How does he get to experience the pleasure of you being with other men? Is it just hearing about it? Is it you sort of telling him while you're having sex, or does he watch the scenes?
So we've progressed. So when we first started, it was actually getting the footage and he would watch it. And I was too scared because I'm like, I'm not fucking watching myself fuck. Like, who does that? And so it freaked me out. And I'm like, I don't want to watch it. But he would watch it. And I'm like, you can go masturbate to that because I'm not watching that right now. Well, I've gotten more comfortable with it. So sometimes I'll get the footage from wherever, or even if it's like a collab or whatever, and I'll get the footage and we'll sit down together and watch it. And I've even had like collabs where I've called him and he doesn't know I'm actually calling him, like truly, like one of my glory hole scenes I did, I called him while I was sucking a black cock and I was like, hey babe. And he's like, hey, you know? And I'm like, I'm sucking a nice big fat juicy cock right now. And it's a BBC. And he's like, I mean, you should just watch it. It's fucking hilarious, his reaction. It was so good.
Well, what's amazing about that is we all watch that and get off to that thinking that that is, knowing that that's fake, we're pretending it's real. And in this case, yeah, it's real. Actually fucking real. I love this. This is amazing. Okay. And so has there ever been any hiccups like where he's like, oh, that's too far, don't do that, I'm mad? Or has it all been like kind of horny and lovely?
It's been horny and lovely. And we know boundaries. We talk about boundaries. So if there's ever like, especially now, because he knows that like there's a chance I might call. And so he's like, well, if you do, you know, this is my do's and don'ts. But he has his guards pretty down. I mean, he will do, or let me say, pretty much anything, and it turns him on. Pretty much the dirtier, the better.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And yeah, for you, like as a female, a feminine being, like, is it easy for you to see the masculinity in that vulnerability that he has? Because I think people miss this. This is like, if you look in popular culture and like the dumb fucking memes, and you know, there's a difference between a guy who is like in the corner crying and is a cuck, like, you know, a cuckold, right? Yeah. And if that's your thing, respect, do it, whatever. There's a difference between being a cuckold guy and then being a man who like loves and appreciates and like jerks off and, you know, to his woman wife getting fucked by a bunch of dudes, the rings getting cummed on. There is a masculinity to that. So is that like a turn on for you that he was doing it in a masculine way? Like if he was saying like, I'd rather sit in the corner and cry while you did it, like that wouldn't, I'm assuming for you, that wouldn't be that much of a turn on, right?
No, and he wouldn't do that, but he would go in the corner and stroke that and get excited and just love that, just that eroticism, just the chemistry, and it turns him on. I mean, it really does. And I don't see, I see the cuck side of it, but I also see how confident he is in his own skin. And that is sexy, because you're like, wow, he allows that? Like, what? Like, you know, it is crazy, but it is great. It is amazing. I'm beside myself, honestly.
No, yeah, it sounds like it. but yeah, I mean, and good for you. And I think that's sort of the kind of stuff that I love to dig around in with people like you that are open and smart and having these experiences, because I think there is a masculinity to, there's something about seeing someone that obviously you love them and you're with them, but like seeing someone who your partner who makes you really horny and you're really attracted to them, seeing them as a man then overpowered, right? Whether it's in your head in a role play scenario or for you in real life, seeing them just overtaken, there is a really horny masculine side to that. And I think no one is talking about that. So I really appreciate you indulging in that, because that's very, very rarely is that illuminated. It's always like, oh, the dude's a cuck and he sucks and he's a bitch and like whatever. And like, that's not the only case, guys.
No, it's not. Especially if there was, if you had a niche for watching that kind of porn, like growing up, I watched that stuff. Like, you know, the stranger comes and barges in on the boyfriend and girlfriend, and the girlfriend gets taken and used, you know. I mean, I start thinking about things like that, and that fucking turns me on. I love that stuff. So
yeah, when it's playing. Okay, so when you were like prude and prissy, you were watching fucking raunchy like consent non-consent porn. Okay, we just discovered that here towards the end.
Yes I did, but I also, like, when I first started watching it, it was all HBO shit. So it was like all soft erotic porn, you know? And like, I would masturbate. I always was horny, but the weird thing was, like, I wouldn't try to express it publicly or with someone else. It was like, I always hid, and it was what got me excited. Like, I would always hide, or in my room, or during weird hours, or, you know, like, I even remember taking a fucking, like, this is so bizarre, but I think every woman, when she was, you know, back in her youthful days, would have done this. She gets a stuffed animal, right? And she like tries to like rock on it or whatever. It is such a thing. Like, women do it. I'm sure you've heard of that before.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I've heard of, you know, on the show, around the show, in my personal life, like when women are like coming into that horniness, right, where it's like really overwhelming, that's like, what can I, you know, shove in my fucking pussy to fucking let's see what it, you know, because we're just at the, and this will go right into the next second to last piece of the show, right, but like, we're sort of in this zone where in the last 10 maybe 15 years, sex toys have become more sophisticated, more elegant, whatever, but before that, yeah, you had vibrators and dildos and Adam and Eve and all these things, but couple years before that, you're sort of stuck in this thing that if you're growing up and you're not 18 yet, and or even if you were and you're like a woman and you're horny, what the fuck? I mean, nobody, now it's like, go buy a bullet at Walgreens, go buy a fucking double sided whatever, and you can get whatever you want from these websites, boom, discreetly packaged. But before, you know, you're rocking on the stuffed animal. You know, I don't blame. Yeah, I don't blame. I mean, as a man, I've done far fucking weirder shit than that. I've put my dick in places that when I was young, that I look back now, I'm like, I was fucking crazy. No, I was just fucking horny and there was no outlets for it, you know?
We do some crazy fucking shit. Like, I mean, seriously, you know, that's how I started though. It was rocking on air. And I don't know what it was with the air, something just bizarre. It wasn't even like hardly touching, which is the strangest thing. But, you know, I've had a cucumber, all kinds of shit up there. I mean, it's just fucking nuts.
Yeah. Well, okay. Speaking of sex toys, right? I know from the last episode that I did on the other podcast, you were a sex toy addict. Okay. Or you know, that's how it was fucking written when I read it. But like, what are some of your favorite sex toys? Is there anything new that you're loving? Like how much? Because there's a lot of like the little tongue things, with the whatever. And so, what are you into? What would you recommend? What are we loving? What are we not liking?
Oh, you can never get enough of the Hitachi. So that will always and forever be one of the best favorites ever. There is this new thing. It's kind of like, it's kind of shaped similar to a dildo, but it's pink and it's long, but it moves. So it moves around in your vagina and it just swirls, and you can, you know, make it go faster or whatever. And I love that thing coupled with a butt plug that is, vibrating. So it, you know, obviously you stick it up your ass and let it go vibrating.
yeah, no, and that's another pro move, is like the double, or sometimes even like triple, quad, you have grabbing different things you have laid out. I feel like people who are doing that are really in touch with what they're into and aren't afraid to order something that's swirling around inside. But for some people, like, that, you know, I don't know, maybe they're conservative, you know, on the outside. What would you recommend, like, starting with, like a little bullet thing that's like, you know, or do you just recommend like, fuck that, just go in for, the kill.
Oh no, you want to start off slow so you kind of can explore with your body and understand what stimulates you, because some people like things deep within. You know, you see some big name women and they can't get off unless there's a triple sized dick inside of them, right? I mean, and then others, they prefer the stimulation that's outside of the vagina. So kind of just play and discover with what works for you. I would start with a basic, like medium size or even smaller dildo or even a vibrating one, and just your standard Hitachi vibrator, like that you just put on your vagina, because most women are stimulated through the clitoris, which sits on the outside. Like, so you're just going to want to play around.
Yeah, for sure. And you and your husband, are you using sex toys together when you guys are hooking up?
Yeah, we do. Oh yeah.
Yes. Another pro move. I mean, I feel like this needs to be normalized too, because if you're a dude and you're not welcoming the sex toys into the room, into the bed with you, you're making a big mistake.
You gotta have them, because you can only do so much normal sex. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's a million different fucking crazy ass pretzel positions you can get into, but I mean, let's just fix the facts. You're gonna get bored and you're gonna want to explore with other shit. So why wouldn't
you? Yeah. No, it's a ton. Yeah. It's a ton of fun too. My girlfriend and I are constantly, I've bought her more than she's had in her whole life. And I'm like, hey, this is new fucking thing I found or whatever. It's so beneficial. It's like on every level, like pleasure, but also like connection mentally. You can talk about it afterwards. It's really fucking great. I think it's awesome you guys are doing that. Here at the end, okay, let's say there's a woman out there. She, you know, she's watching gangbang porn, DP, whatever it is, right? The fucking ski mask guy coming in the window or whatever. she's married. She's single. Doesn't matter. But she wants to explore some of those more hardcore fantasies. Maybe it's gangbangs. Maybe it's like two guys at once. Maybe it's just a different dude. Whether she's married or she's single or she has a boyfriend, like, could you give some sort of advice? I mean, because your husband brought it to you, but how do they bring it to themselves and their partners if they want more other people to be involved? What kind of advice would you give?
Sure. So for the woman, I mean, obviously it's always open communication. That's one of the hardest things in a relationship, to do stuff like that. Most people don't know the first thing of how to talk to their spouse or their partner, you know, or whatever it is. But I would first and foremost, you know, in my opinion, I would sexually please them first. I would have sex and have fun. And then afterwards, when they're calm and they've already had an erection or orgasm or whatever it is, sit down and calmly say, you know, that is so much fun. Maybe we should add some more. And you'd be like, you know, if it catches them off guard, why are they? Because you're already in the act and you just got finished. So it would be fun to talk about openly something like that. That is the perfect time to engage in that kind of conversation, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, that's I mean, and then you can sort of like gauge where the fuck, if they're going to get mad and maybe back off or like try something else or.
Yeah. Yeah. And if they're not interested, you could just, I mean, have a light discussion and say, you know, I love exploring with you and I love everything that we do together. And you can say no to this. That is perfectly fine. Just throwing it out there for ideas, or if you're into it, you know, would you be interested in another girl or another guy, or I don't know, tranny, I don't know what you want, but you know, if that's something you're into, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
Just a light start conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love that. Okay. So wonderful advice all around, valuable episode here at the end. So before you sort of leave, right, this time, I have a feeling you'll be back on the show, so nobody worry, right? Just don't get upset just yet. But like, what's coming up next for you? What kind of, I mean, you just did two gangbangs in a week, so what are we going to space and having upside down pineapple cake sex, or what's going on?
That is so fucking hilarious, because that gangbang was alien based, baby. It was like painted with purple circles everywhere. That is funny that you said that.
I had no knowledge of that. Wait, are the guys dressed like aliens having sex with you?
Yeah, they were painted. Like, they didn't wear any mask or anything, but they were literally painted up like a full out alien, like green everywhere. And it was just fucking crazy.
So you were like someone being abducted by aliens and getting gangbanged.
Mm-hmm. I was the queen. Yeah, it was me and another girl. And we both got completely gangbanged. It was nuts.
That is nuts. So when do those scenes drop? And like, what are you shooting next that you're excited about?
So I'm really pumped to get back in with Perv City. I'm going to do an interracial scene, and it's going to be March 22nd that I'm doing that.
Okay.
So I'm really excited. And then the talent is Isaiah Maxwell. So it'll be really fun.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Yeah. When are the gangbang scenes available for people to go check out?
So I think the guy in Arizona was going to be dropping it this week or next week. So it will be coming very quickly. The other one, I think probably a month turnaround time will be when it drops.
Okay.
I think so. Yeah.
Well, Alicia Vera, thank you so much for being on Sex Party. Guys, she's getting gangbanged by aliens. Alicia, tell them, tell these crazy party-going people who their jaws are on the floor, but they're like, this was a really good episode. Where can they find you on social? Where can they find, if you have an OnlyFans, we didn't even get to it, so that's something for the next episode. Where can they find all your stuff? Where can they give you bunches of... honey bunches of oats. No, where can they give you bunches of money?
They can give me all kinds of money on OnlyFans. Go to, it's just, my handle is on my VIP page. It's AlySSIAVeraXO. And it's only $10 a month. There's no additional paywall. So if you're freaking out about that, don't worry. You won't get charged for anything else other than the $10 that you pay. Mm. And then my Twitter is AlySSIAVera. My IG is VerifiedXO, which is VerafiedXO.
Amazing. Everything will be linked in the notes below. Thank you so much for showing up, being your full self, and having fun with me on Sex Party. I can't wait to have you back. So, you know, we'll have to schedule that like ASAP.
Okay, let's do it. Love
amazing.
It. Thank you.
Talk soon.
Okay.
Big thank you to my guest, Alicia Vera, for being with me on the show this week. Make sure you go check out everything she is doing on OnlyFans. Go check out the alien gangbang. Go check out everything that she is doing. Buy some content. Follow her on social media. If you guys are loving guests like Alicia, you want to see Alicia again, you want to show some love, some appreciation, some desire for more Sex Party, how can you do that? Well, if you're listening on platforms like Apple and Spotify, you could leave a comment, you could leave a review, not really important to me, to you, to whatever. You can, I love it, it's great. But what you really want to do is you want to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode each and every single Wednesday. If you're watching on YouTube, put that down. Put that down. If you're watching on YouTube, I love you. I see you. I appreciate you. If you're watching on YouTube, you could leave a comment. You could like the video. But again, the most important thing that you could do, subscribe to the channel so you never miss a new episode every single Wednesday forever. I'm always available in the DMs on Instagram, and I will see you all right back here next week.
Thanks for listening. The party continues next week. Click subscribe and let's make this a regular thing. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter @SexPartyFM. Follow Dustin @DustinRibka.